economic development. It can be about anything, really. Just give the citizens, I guess, an opportunity to really express their voice on city business and what they'd like to see done. So today at the radio station, we will kick off a little bit over economic development, kind of where we're at since the city, we had chose to do a lease purchase agreement, then the contract between the buyer and the seller fell through. So we're kind of at back at square one, I guess you'd say, on where we're at with trying to do something with the piece of land behind O'Reilly's. We had a meeting today with some MoDOT folks, engineer, and then I didn't catch the lady's name, but they gave us some insight on how to try to gain access onto 63 in the limited part. Basically, coming out of that meeting, I felt like we're not going to get anywhere right now on trying to gain access to it, but what we need to focus on is upgrading the roads that would go to the access points that we currently have. So that would mean like Nettleton and over in the industrial park, updating those roads to funnel all the traffic into the Dairy Queen intersection that they have also identified is not conducive to 18-wheelers trying to make a right-hand turn northbound. So once you can clog up an intersection like that, then they'll look at other pieces where they'll allow you to have a right-in, right-out, or a possibly an intersection. Because I questioned up at West Plains, you've got Ramsar Road that meets into 63, and then you've got Monk Street where they put in an actual intersection up there that there was nothing there before. And their answer was on that is because of the 160-63 intersection there at Walmart, because it was so congested at that point, what MoDOT looks at is how can you help alleviate traffic from one area to go to another area. They're, per the engineer, they're really not into economic development or helping cities do that. They're more into how can you assist in getting traffic patterns from one area to another and do it safely. So that's kind of where we're at, I think, with the ride-in, ride-out stuff. Unfortunately, in order to get a ride-in, ride-out on the four-lane section, you can buy an access point somewhere else, but it has to be in the same county and on the same type of highway. So we would have to purchase, the only one that we could identify today was the access in front of Clark's Liquor Store down on the beverage shop down on State Line. That would be the only access that, if they were to want to sell, I doubt they will, but that's the only one we identified that's in the same county and on the same type of stretch of road. So other than that, I felt the meeting was pretty good. It didn't get a lot of happy feelings from MoDOT, but at least we learned something. So we know where we're at with it, and we can move forward and work through that. So I'll let Scott or Bob, they were at the meeting, they can pitch in here and fill us in on any other things.
Let me mention that on that, it's very frustrating, of course, as probably most of you know, trying to work with MoDOT, because it's their way or the highway, no pun intended. Does that make sense?
That's good for you.
But anyway, seriously, it's very, very frustrating. I understand they have guidelines to follow, you know, but I look at communities around us close by that seem to get these accesses, and I can't figure out why. Well, I think it's somewhat of a money issue, and I know you can have some cost share. For example, if there was somewhere along 63 that we, you know, thought might get an access point, then if you could cost share that and somebody would pay for that, then obviously they're going to be a lot more interested in looking
at it. Oh, yes, all day long they are. Yes.
So it does become somewhat of a money issue, but it's very frustrating. So, but I don't want us to give up on it. I think we've got to keep pushing, because these things don't happen overnight, and we've got to try to work with them and try to build a case. I think we can, at least I think we can look at potentially upgrading that DQ intersection to at least get the ball rolling with that, And then that way, if something was to develop over in the industrial park, whether it be parks and recreation, whether it be retail, whether it be an incubator, whether it be whatever, then at least you would have a better access at that point and be able, like you said, to funnel traffic through there. But I don't think we need to give up on other access points. There's a lot of political pressure that can take place. Right, Dan?
Yeah.
And that political pressure can have a lot of impact. Right, Annie?
Right.
And that's, so, you know, it's up just to stash away. You know, I came out there feeling encouraged, but yet discouraged in a sense, too. But then after I got a text or two, I felt a little bit better about it and decided that, hey, we can't walk away and just give up on this thing, you know. You've got to try to look at some different angles. So, anyway, on that part of it, I thought it was good. And Scott may have some other things. We talked about the Enterprise Zone. We talked about the incubator. We talked, what else did we talk about?
Chicken houses, rural broadband that
broadband
the county's working on.
And some other things going on in the county. But Scott, what else?
That was it. I mean, I just, first of all, like to say kudos. I really appreciate all the support we're getting at the state level. And, you know, we have Carl Esslinger's office right here, Dan. He's here tonight. We've got SCOCOG here. Annie's here with SCOCOG.
Well, she's with the Department of Economic.
I'm sorry, Department of Economic.
Very close.
Very close. They work with SCOCOG. I apologize. I met a lot of people. But we just have a lot of people that are lending their hand and trying to get something done. And this is really, I was telling Bob, it's not something that you get done this year. Nothing's going to happen, you know, this year. You kind of, we're planting seeds, I guess is kind of the way I say it, to hopefully something will grow out of it. There is the update. The manufacturing incubator that I talked about the last meeting is still we still have a green light on that. Met with Hal Oregon and Tri-County Electric up at Licking. Had another meeting last Friday at in Kabul. And again, there's one slated for each county. They're going to have the application in by January. We have the Community Betterment Association that has funds to match the 80-20 grant. I talked about the last meeting that we are going to try to road trip up to Wisconsin and look at some of these. And there are so many of us that wanted to go. The guy that kind of coordinates these up in Wisconsin, he said, why don't I bring as much information and video and pictures down to you that we can. So we met up there in Licking, and let me tell you, it was really impressive, the factories that they brought into these small towns.
So for those that don't know, explain what the incubator is going to be again.
The incubator is basically, it's a federal grant. It's an 80-20 grant, and they come to the communities. They establish generally a 20,000 square foot manufacturing facility, kind of a blank slate manufacturing facility. They have three dividing walls in there. And they put a manufacturer, typically they start off one at each end, and as they grow, they can move into those center spaces. And once they outgrow, then they help them find another, hopefully within the same territory, a place to relocate to. And even in some situations, they have sold the building that they're in, and the 501c3 that's over these manufacturing incubators has built a new manufacturing incubator. They showed us several facilities that were up there, and most of them were filled with these, and I don't know the terminology, the manufacturing terminology, you might get your help over there, these CNC machines, and they said there that several $60,000-plus-a-year jobs are come out of these facilities. And it's great, we have Ozarka College, which now has a program to teach that type of training, not too far from us. He said they started three places in Wisconsin, and the one that was the most successful one, or multiple facilities have flourished, are the ones kind of like ours, where it's on a major highway. It's within 2 to 3 hours of major cities like Memphis, you know, Little Rock, Springfield, St. Louis. We're fairly central to those. And so we were very encouraged, especially with the aerial shot of the one area that has had multiple manufacturers that have grown within these areas. So we're excited to get that going. Got to apply for the grant, get approved, and then the next step I think will be to get the city's approval on getting some of the industrial park land converted to this 501c3 that will be managing it, and getting some cost, you know, basically some bids to to put up a facility. It's really, he was telling him most of those were about 1.2 when they built them, but it, with all the skyrocketing costs, he said it's a very fluctuating cost as far as how much, you know, land, dirt work needs to be done. Depends on whether you have soil or, you know, topsoil or clay. There's all types of factors that, that go into the cost.
From what I understand, aren't there, they're just looking at Thayer, West Plains, and Houston?
Yeah, Texas County, Howell County, and Oregon County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is federal funding.
So we're in the running for it. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's you know, and Howell, Oregon is going to fund pretty much the person to coordinate and oversee the three facilities.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, there's, we talked about this the last time we were at the town hall, but right now, and I think Dan and Andy would probably back this up, there's more funding out there right now, more grant money, more match or just grant money out there than we have ever seen in our lifetime.
Is there more? I mean, I'm not disputing that, Bob. Is there more, or are we more involved?
No,
there's more.
There's definitely more.
Okay.
And a lot of it's because
you have been very involved, so kudos to you all. So.
Just like today, you know, when they were talking, I can't remember who was talking, but this morning about the meetings that if you're not there, you don't get a vote.
That's the SCOCOG TAC meetings for determining the transportation infrastructure in your county and city.
So we definitely need representation.
We haven't been there. Now, no. David Stubblefield is, kudos to him. He is just, he's been fabulous.
Well, he's on it, yeah.
And Ron Copeland, but Dave's been going, and he's been the voice, and, you know, we just got to keep backing him up.
As a matter of fact, by him going to that meeting, they were able to get a project on Highway 19. Where they're going to extend the roadway by 2 feet and add rumble strips. Mm-hmm. So just by him going to one or two of them meetings, he's able to get some stuff coming for Oregon County when it comes to highway.
Well, I don't think we would have got the money for the improved intersection down by the access down by the medical clinic without the fact that somebody was there and just got that in under the wire.
Yeah, just barely in time. Yeah.
That's another project that's going to happen that folks probably don't know about. Is they're going to expand the Nettleton Highway 63 junction there because they have identified, and it is a safety issue of the traffic trying to turn, if you're southbound, trying to turn right onto Nettleton. So they're going to do some type of expansion to the intersection.
It also made them aware of the other end of Nettleton. Yeah. He's got a problem, too. And that they're going to address that. And then I guess you talked about the intersection at Dairy Queen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But now the intersection down there, that's a pretty big deal. They're going to fill in that big hole. That's a big hole. I don't know if anybody's looked.
Yeah.
That's a big hole.
It is.
And they're going to fill all that in, and that's going to require a lot of work.
I'll tell you another intersection that we kind of, I don't know if we'd actually talked about in the meeting, but right there at the McDonald's intersection, has anybody been through there while school's getting out?
No, not at all.
I have.
Something is going to have to happen eventually there. Now, the school's enrollment is up. They're up by close to 100 people, I think. Mm-hmm. Census is down and school enrollment is up. Does that make any sense to me?
We have identified trying to get a crosswalk up there in where the elementary and high school driveway area is.
Closer to Fuller's office.
Closer to where we have a traffic officer sitting there after school, so to help get kids across the road with supervision there. So we're working on that right now. But
from the economic development side of things, are we doing the right things, Annie, or what more do we need to do?
Yeah, I think, as I understand it, so there's two halves of the coin on this situation. The first half is your community wants road changes, and that's a need for your community, and you have to kind of go through that process of working with SCOCOG, which is your local planning commission, government planning commission, and get on the priority list with the TAC. And if that's just a freestanding wish, you have to stand in line with your priorities for your roads here locally. The other half of the coin is you can prioritize what you want done with your roads here locally if you have if you start instead with industry and development, and that can bypass a lot of the weight gain, right? So that's mm-hmm. that's kind of it. So I think, you know, it's up to your community, but the second part is if you want to develop the industrial park, as we've talked about, and I've heard your citizens talk about, or develop your community, then MoDOT's going to be drawn into developing the road access points versus just actually asking MoDOT on the front end, and then we just have to wait.
Kind of like building, they will come.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's my understanding. Were you saying the same?
Yeah, they had mentioned we had Mark Kerwark in the Southeast MoDOT District Director. Maybe Bob had covered that already there. So that was, you know, impressive in itself that he came up from Cape. He said he pointed to the fact they had, you know, obviously have a lot of smart engineers there. They really like to kind of fiddle with these maps and can really kind of plug in different scenarios
right.
about what might work best.
So I would say, where do we want to start? How urgent? I would put it to our community to say, which, how urgent is the roads issue? And then if the most urgent thing is roads and access, then maybe the most timely way to approach it would be development versus starting with the governmental process, which is going to be some period of delay.
Well, it's like we were talking about today. You know, if we found someone interested, a prospect, marketing, you know, some of the land back behind there, you know, that may be their first question is how are they going to find us here, or how are they going to get to us? Mm-hmm. Now, if it was a business that was a Love's Truck Stop, for example, that'd be a lot of reason. Anyway, how would we answer that to say, well, this is a great spot here, but, you know, people can't get to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And I would say, you know, I'll defer to the senator's representative, but I would say that you say we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
As I said, this is such a special community. You know, I told Bob, I mean, once it was just trees and hills and a river, and someone brought it to this point. And so if there's a will, there's a way. And we can do what if we put our wills together, we can make this work. And we can figure out, you know, an outcome to keep this community growing so your children can return here, your grandchildren can return here.
Yeah. Well said.
I did reach out to Signal and Jordan's today. I'm sure it's going to be hard to talk to those folks, but I did. I got voicemail with both, left my name and number and who I represented. So hopefully they'll get back with us.
Well, I think it'll hold a lot of weight by you being the mayor, you know, hearing from you and saying, you know, hey, we've got some potential sites here. The need, there's no question the need is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we all know that. There'll be some obstacles, but at least if they know coming from you that said, hey, you know, I don't have all the answers, but like Andy said, we can work this out. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out some way that we can get trucks to turn in there, or, you know, we'll do whatever we have to make it happen, you know. That would, if I was on the other end, that'd be music to my ears.
Well, it's always nice to be wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really feel we got so many boots on the ground now, so to speak, with everybody. We've kind of brought awareness to what our communities are.
Well, it's obvious too that
if we go
the help that we've got from the two meetings that I've attended. Wow.
Yeah, just don't give up on us, guys.
No,
but
y'all are doing. I say y'all are doing a good job keeping it on the front burner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of issues that we get hit with every day, we're glad to help however we can.
Well, after the meeting, I went to Mammoth and came back, and I looked over there and I saw how many trucks the Hirsch have over there. You know, they had must have been a dozen tractor trailer rigs over there. Now I got to think of them. I got to think about Strong's and Speed's and the Stockyard and all that. And I'm thinking, where those people, you know, I mean, eventually the state line will be open to serve some of their needs. But they, right now, there's no place for any, them to even go to buy diesel around here.
And just
that's
to,
sad.
You know, just to reinforce that point, I've been in several conversations where there's been mentioned as a community that has more competitive advantages, given your location on the Arkansas line, how beautiful it is here, for people who want to live outside and work online, given, you know, the changing nature after the coronavirus and how people can work and relocate. So there has been, in my conversations, indicated as, well, there could win this kind of grant. This could be the choice community for this kind of funding. So, you know, and also because you can pull Arkansas workers, which the labor shortage, as we're also aware of, is such a thing. So you are in a special position, I think, if we keep working at the solutions.
Well, we've got Carla and Ron and even David Evans that was here last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, Josh Holly's office was there today, too. But, you know, so you got a lot of people that are kind of watching our back a little bit here. And so that's a good sign.
It's an exciting time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dan, do you have anything else you'd like to interject or?
No, just for
those that don't know,
just a touch late. Yeah, Dan Ingman, I'm Chief of Staff Senator S. Langer. Now I'm just glad to participate in the meeting this morning and be here tonight. And I would say Senator S. Langer is on the Senate Appropriations Committee, so very good spot. You know, kind of continuing that tradition with Senator Cunningham before, with, you know, community service, but then also beyond appropriations as he was. And so, you know, we will have dealing with ARPA money, and, you know, we need to provide additional spending authority for those funds when we come back in January. So a really good spot, I think, to be able to help you all. So, you know, we like it when you all come to us and say, this is our solution that we want you to support. So that makes our job easier, but we'll try to help you however we can. I don't profess to be an expert with any of this stuff, but I know we know people in state government like Annie and, you know, we can lean on in the different agencies you know, really Senator Esslinger has worked really hard, I think, in building those relationships, you know, bringing Patrick, you know, Director McKenna in from MoDOT into our office and different cabinet members just to build those relationships being brand new. You know, she served 2 years in the House before, but obviously well familiar with this area, being a former school superintendent at West Plains and Ava and just a wealth of experience with different things. But I'd be glad to answer any questions if anyone has any.
I think Carla had mentioned, you know, saw her last week, I think, in West Plains at the chamber there, and she said, what I need is a specific ask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we've got to come up with. What do we want?
Right.
What do we want to ask for? She says, I'll go to bat, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and I'll do whatever I can do, and I'll step on toes or do whatever I got to do, but I need to know what I want to ask for.
Right, yeah, give us the request. Don't have us come up with that.
Yeah,
it's got to come from y'all, yeah. what you want.
So we got to decide, you know, what are we asking mm-hmm. for? You know?
It starts with the master plan.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That was going to be a question. What kind of a plan do you have? And have it prioritized to where, you know, let's get the ball rolling, you know,
yeah.
because I've been impressed with all the ideas, everything y'all want to do. The only thing that has bothered me most was taking away the arena and the truck pull. That's bothered me more than anything, because that draws a lot of people in here. And believe it or not, they do support our local businesses, because
oh, yeah.
I have worked these different places before I started school.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that go to those patronize our businesses here locally, because they'll forget something at home. Oh, I need this. So they can run to Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, we want something to eat, McDonald's, Dairy Queen, Pizza Inn, or whatever. So we really need to get everything prioritized
mm-hmm.
and still keep things for the family. Because at the truck pull, we had people, I said there was people from as far away as Oklahoma. And I think they said they saw a truck from New Mexico.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
And I mean, it was packed. That field, you couldn't have found another parking spot if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the plan was to relocate them. It was to never to do away with them. So that's, I know there was a lot of misinformation the past couple of months on what was going to actually happen with them, but the rodeo arena was priority one when I went into talking with these folks about that and how we had to, whatever we had to do, we had to keep the rodeo arena and the truck pulls. So they were never going to go anywhere. They were going to get relocated, but they were not going to disappear. So.
Okay, do you have any idea where they might be located?
Well, because the things have fallen through with us moving to River Country, we're kind of back to the drawing board. So there's no, the developer that was interested in the industrial park and making that a retail residential area, he's cooled off. So we're basically, now we're going to have to develop a plan on the council. What I'm asking tonight is, how do we want to move forward after this not falling or going through as planned? So whether it be we try to work on this incubator to get them to come in, or even maybe another possible developer that is interested in doing something over there. So we just, as a council, we need to be open to any ideas to move forward so we can get this plan in place to get this going. So
okay, you're talking about, I can remember years ago, and it's been several years ago, that downtown Thayer used to be a booming place, even on Saturdays. I'd kind of like to see that come back. Get retail businesses, even if it's just a mom and pop business, try to get them down, and people be fair with the rent to where they can make it. Because, I mean, when you have a business, you've got your insurance, you've got your taxes, you've got your wages and all that that you've got to pay out of your pocket. But when your rent is astronomical and you don't have that money coming in, it's pretty hard to stay in business.
Yeah, there's actually, for downtown areas, there's a lot of grant money that is earmarked just for downtown areas that need, that everybody's vacated, because like ours, there's a lack of parking is the first thing I see. Is that we all know how it is along Front Street now, especially since you can't park on both sides of the road. And like today, I was looking, I guess there was something going on at the senior center today, because the parking next to the PD was full. Every spot down Front Street was full, and I think you couldn't even find a spot in the depot parking lot, which is where everybody likes to park. So that's going to be one of the biggest hurdles, is trying to, if I was a business, where would my customers park?
Okay, they're on the corner of 2nd and Chestnut. There's an empty lot. What's
right.
The plans for that? Why could that not be used as a parking lot?
I think because somebody owns it. It's not...
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
after
that burned down, that was a private individual that owned that piece and just cleaned it up and left it.
The problem that I see with the downtown area is, as bad as I hate to say it, Bree, and of course I can remember when downtown Thayer was busy too as a kid, and you just couldn't find a place to park. But that being whatever it is, but if I was going to put a business in Thayer, I want to go to where the more traffic is, and it's definitely not in the downtown area.
Kenny, you know, back when Alan Deckard was mayor, we hired an economic developer, mm-hmm. and we started looking into some of these things, you know. And I'm like you. I don't want to say anything, you know,
negative. Yeah.
But a group of people took that over, and they simply focused on downtown and downtown only. That was when we got the sidewalks fixed in downtown. I would have to agree with the mayor and his position that it needs to be for everybody. It needs to be on the highway. The industrial park is a good project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back a couple years ago, when we first formed our economic development board and formed our 501, is it C3 or 3C, mm-hmm. whichever it is, you know, we had these discussions about the industrial park. And if you will remember, Mayor, I think you and I think it was Alderman
Clark or Fuller?
Clark came over there, and we met with, well, I called the governor's office, and they sent somebody down. It was that Shad Berner from the Economic Development. Mm-hmm. And we had a meeting over there, and what we got into was that that the Department of Natural Resources has a clause on part of the industrial park. It's not a lien, but it's a use.
Yeah, it's a six acres. The park, the actual Sherwood Park and the tennis courts was for a land water conservation grant. I think that's what you're talking to, Bob.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that was back in the 70s. And that's one of the things when we were talking with this developer and trying to do something with the industrial park and the pieces behind O'Reilly's is we identified that that park was going to have to stay there. The only way we could get rid of it is if we had another 6 acres somewhere in town and we could move it to. But the developer liked the park being there, so we were actually going to just leave it there and add some more acreage to it and try to upgrade we'll get rid of the pool building, put a splash pad in, update the swings and things like that. So
there's some money available for that.
So we're not talking about a total reorganization back to its intended purposes of the industrial park.
So that's a possibility too. I mean, because that's what they're talking about this incubator building is that would be some type of manufacturing that would go in back there and utilize it as an industrial development.
I mean, I'm just making a point, and I'm not, trying to argue right. either way.
Right.
But, I mean, there's not that big of amount of lien on it, It's $141,000 on the part of the pool, And we had some lengthy discussions with, I think Dan and I have talked about it before, and I've talked to Jason Smith's office mm-hmm. and some of them. But, I mean, that is a, and I'm not saying, it can't be done without it, but that is a really good spot along mm-hmm. there where those buildings
are. If I'm not mistaken, Bob, I think we could pay that money back. Then we can do what we wanted to. Correct?
Here's the document.
That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, we can pay it back and use it. Now, what my point just being is, $141,000 and there's a $39,000. That sounds like a lot of money, but today's standards, that's not that much money for a choice corner and a choice location that can be used in the master plan with what you're doing.
Right.
You're exactly right.
I'm just saying that. We got away, and you said it, I wasn't here last month, so I'm a little bit behind, we've still got our board going, and we still have meetings, and, we're thankful the chamber's on board and participating. What I'm trying to say is, Kenny, Mr. Mayor, you said it right in the paper when you said that we haven't utilized our industrial park over there for 50 years, so maybe kind of a rededication to some of those efforts, kind of with the master plan, something like that, mm-hmm. might be of some benefit to show the community that, what we're trying to do.
What we're trying to accomplish. I agree, Bob. And you're exactly right. For that prime corner of that property, $141,000 is not that much money.
No,
really.
It's not.
Matter of fact, if somebody like I just talked about that I called today, either one of those companies, I'm sure they would pay that for that piece of property.
We could, we could move it in other parts of the industrial park.
Yeah.
We could probably tie the
those other buildings
and the truck pull into it and shift it south and encompass the wooded area and stuff along where the guard is.
Try to get all that front part freed up.
You remember these discussions we had, don't mm-hmm. you, a couple of years ago mm-hmm. when we first started?
And another problem we got is our city sheds.
That's what I was leading
to. They're just built on the best part of the property, and I'm not talking bad about anybody that was on this council before, but I don't know why they built our city sheds on the best piece of property that we've got.
Maybe that's where Bob's.
This wasn't a four forethought. You
know, no, it wasn't.
Or Bob's talking about the master plans. Yeah. He says maybe that's what we need to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there may be some money. We was talking about that this morning. There may be some money available to move those buildings. I'm not talking about physically move those buildings, but tear them down and build new ones somewhere else.
And I think they're checking into that.
Yeah.
You know, as a possibility. But, you know, you've got that, and, you know, the developer previous that had some interest and maybe still does, you know, using it as a mixed-use piece of property where you use a portion of it for retail, use a portion of it for recreational, a portion of it industrial, maybe even a portion of it potentially, if you had enough people that would influx into the area, that maybe you need some residential area.
Right.
You know, so... Yeah. A good blend of those types of things is, you know, really what you're striving for, you know.
And to
use it all for industrial development, you know, we haven't filled it up in 50-plus years and probably not going to, you know. I mean, chances of us getting a big factory, Amazon warehouse in Thayer, Missouri is probably 0 to 9, you know. But... You know, I mean, there may be some small industry types.
They're wanting a plan. I think the incubator, since it's already kind of moving along and we're in the running for it, I think that ought to be our focus. Focus on this incubator, and you know, if Jordan's calls me back and they're interested, then we can bring them along too. Or if Signal calls me back. I don't know.
What do we intend to do about developing a master plan? I mean, should we sit down and think what needs to be done in the park? I mean, do we need to consider coming up with the funding to pay that off under that 6F3?
One of the holdups we had with to determining and creating a master plan, everybody's wants the next step, was determine the potential for these access points along 63, which we're learning more about this morning, whether that's possibility or not, because that would be a big determinant of how that area was laid out and have access, you know.
Yeah, because...
So access is part of it.
Access is a big part of it, yeah.
Big trucks can't get in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we get an incubator, they're going to have to be able to.
Right.
Well, you know, we talked about this last time, too. I, you know, just my opinion, but I think that 63 corridor through there is probably one of our greatest strengths that we have.
Sure
this
is.
Community. And even David Stubblefield would echo that.
And
it's
we've
a
also
great
got...
strength, but it's also a detriment as well because of limited access.
Because of limited access. We also got Burlington Northern Santa Fe close by.
That's what I was getting ready to say. You know, on these emails that we got a couple years ago, I've got this folder full of emails that I got from companies 2 years ago, and about more than 50% of them, one of their first or second questions is how close is rail by? Mm-hmm. And I think Michael King or me and Russell or somebody checked into what it would cost to get a spur.
Spur track,
put up
yes.
There.
Yeah, the railroad will, this is what happened with the sand plant that is around in Bowden, Raven, in Arkansas area. You had a private person that was next to the railroad tracks. They built the facility, built their own tracks in there and everything, and then the railroad tied their main track into them. So if the city wanted to put up the money to build the spur track and run it over to where we butt into the railroad, I'm sure something like that could be done. They've done it in other places. They have one at Jonesboro where they've got an industrial track. And down at West Memphis, Arkansas, they've got one tied
in
there.
Marion, it's not very far if you go over and look at it.
No. But I think probably what... I don't know. The way the railroad is right now with them trying to cut costs and everything, I don't know that how happy they would be about doing something like that versus they have a yard down here where you could truck the stuff down to the yard. I think probably that would be our first battle, is they'd come back to us and say, well, we've got this yard down here, and they've actually been upgrading it and revamping it a little bit to where if you had somebody trying to offload bulk product, you could just truck it from there down to the industrial park. That would probably be the first thing they'd try to do. But if we had some factory, like if this incubator went in and they had bulk product or large equipment that could be trucked as easily, then we can make the case to try to get a spur track put in to tie into the track over there.
Well, like we talked in the beginning, you know, and I think everybody in this room has echoed the same sentiment here.
Right.
That there's funding available for some of these things.
We just need to develop a plan and move forward with it, so.
That's amazing, the cost of that land. You know, or the least part of it, $141,000 that was funded. That was all. You know,
that was
a lot more than
that. Was in 1974, I believe. That goes to show you how much real estate goes up. Mm-hmm. You know, good real estate.
Yeah.
Well, do any other citizens, you have anything you'd like to add, or don't want to leave y'all out? That
the other thing that you talked about, Michael, was or the council had talked about is, you know, what do we do with these 60 acres down here? You know, do you open that up for some proposals? You know, of what to do. You know. You know, do you go back and say, you know, if you've got some proposals on this, well, get them to us, you know, so the council can look at it, you know, type of thing.
I like the first part about some of these people said about trying to attract somebody. You know, I think Scott said something about building some kind of a building you went and looked at somewhere.
Yeah, it would be the incubator building.
Yeah, you know.
But I tell you what, just from the experience here the last couple of years we've been working on this, it takes a lot of time. And you got to be in it every day working on it, looking at things. And
making phone calls.
When you're trying to run a business or two and you know, trying to keep it going, I mean, it wears me out, yeah. You know. So I'm not sure that, you know, do any of us really have the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of resources around, but, you know, council's voluntary. You know, it's just hard, you know. It'd be nice to have a developer, somebody that, or an administrator, somebody that could funnel a lot of those resources and do a lot of that legwork. Scott, I'm about to wear his phone out. He's getting tired. He's about to answer my text now.
Yeah, Bob, to that point, I was just going to say, at Old Gilden, I have a kid basketball game up the road, but I won't be able to stay for the next meeting. But you're right. The exciting opportunity is the challenge of continuing to grow, which takes everything. It takes the downtown district. It takes the schools, which, as an educator, you understand. You know, it takes manufacturing. It takes the roads. And so I think the challenge for us is to sort out what comes first and then just plan on all the other things coming too. You know, they'll all come together. It's just we have to start somewhere first with the intention that everything else comes along in a space. And I thought that, you know, that referring even a part-time developer just that can focus and maybe fair just as their project would be might be helpful. Mm-hmm. Considering that everyone in here are volunteers or showing up on your free time, which is a huge deal. So
on that note, I mean, there have been some conversations with the county and more than one county going together to hire someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And even if it's on a part-time basis, be better than what you got now. So
yeah,
somebody that keep the fire lit. So I've seen that back home. So I live in Herman and just north of the river, Montgomery and Warren County, work together, got a joint partnership, and you know, they're right there along I-70, a little different situation.
Mm-hmm.
But landed a certainty and shingle plant, and they put it, you know, right on the county line. So yeah. Obviously both those counties and surrounding are benefiting from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, David said that the county would be willing to help out in there. I know the city of Alton and maybe Thayer, just kind of help fund that a little bit, you know. I mean, not that I don't mind to help, you know, and Scott and whoever else, you know, but it's more like funneling your attention, you know, because Scott may be working on this and I may be, you know, and then we've got to kind of come together and decide where are we, you know, you said this, Ruth, where are we going to focus on, what's the plan, you know. And we're kind of all doing our own little different things. Not that that won't work, but it's to be better if we all had a common harmonious effort, you know, toward what we wanted to get done.
And what I hear you say as a community, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Is that all the pieces of the pie are going to be included? Downtown, the schools, the rodeo, the tractor trailer, everything's coming along. It's, I don't hear anyone saying in this room that something's just not a part of this priority list. It's just how we eat the elephant one bite at a time and get there. I'm so sorry, what were you going to
say? I'm with Bob on that, because it does take a lot of time. You just don't get on the phone and boom, you're right with that person. No, it's a back and forth jog sometimes. Or I think that would be a good place. But then if we do go over there, where is the city going to put their property? Is that already, do we have a place picked up for that? Or the rodeo? How come not in between the school and the house over there? You know, the,
we don't own that land.
No. Okay.
No, I mean, we're trying to keep the road.
Is it viable or?
We don't know. And actually, so right now, city's not going anywhere. Nothing's happening. Because the deal fell through between River Country and the person that was buying it. So we're basically, we're as if that never happened. So we're back at step square one, if you want to call it that. But no, the intent was to just move the rodeo arena onto the park area, since we already owned it. Okay. That way we didn't have to try to buy land somewhere else to relocate it.
We do own the land on back there by the treatment plant.
Yes, so, and that was even one of the things I'd started looking at, was looking at if the area was big enough back there by the wastewater treatment plant, because I know the Saddle Club Association, that when they left that night, that was their biggest concern, was just parking. They were okay with it being relocated. It was just now there wasn't enough room for parking is what they thought. So,
and here's the deal, guys. The city's not required to provide a place for that. Anybody can do that. You know, that's why they get charged $1 a year lease for that property. It's been for sale. There used to be a big for sale sign up there for years. That property's been for sale. So it shouldn't be like it's anything new. We're trying to just be the good guys and not just shove them out and relocate them. Everybody needs to realize we don't have to do that. And we're not going to make everybody happy. There's no way to make everybody happy. But I will tell you this much, and this is how I feel. I know that's not going to happen, but something similar, wanted to be where our buildings are, the rodeo arena, and the truck pool, we got to move. We got to go.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to figure that out.
Mr. Mayor, is Love's on your list?
But Jordan's is.
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, y'all probably know Love's got some major expansion plans throughout the Midwest.
Now, if I knew how to get a hold of them, but since they built in Willow.
Yeah, I think we're too close to Willow.
Too close.
Just didn't have a good spot when they were booking, and so we kind of lost out to Willow Springs. They wouldn't put another one here.
Okay.
But
we do have a need for it.
Yeah.
You know, we got Casey's.
Jordan's previously, our group, and they were real interested then. That's been, what, Bob, a year ago, really?
Probably a year ago.
So, you know, I think with Jordan's, we got to have a spot that's viable. You know how it goes with these national guys. You know, you throw your fishing line out, and you don't snag them because you don't have the spot ready for them to build and go. I mean, quite frankly, when I showed Jordan's the spot over there where the buildings are, they threw out an offer. So, I mean, they it was a big bite. But we just were in a position to say, here, write a contract, clear the land, and go for it, you know. So, kind of like we talked about before, it's having those shovel-ready sites that's tough. If you don't have those, it's pretty hard to nail those guys.
But I think Jordans could kind of see the forest through the trees, couldn't they?
Yeah, which is great.
Yes.
Most of the people, we showed it to other people. And they saw cemeteries and they saw buildings. They couldn't see past it. Jordan's pretty visionary, really. And I mean, they're building like crazy. We're building some houses in Pocahontas, and they're building a new C-store right next door to where we're building houses, pretty much.
And they're based in Arkansas. Where are they at?
Yeah.
And if you've ever down through Portia, going to Jonesboro. They just built a new one right there on the south end of Portia.
Okay.
It's pretty nice.
They would like to come into Missouri. So, again, it's I think you know, to hit them, we need to have a spot that they can close. Because, I mean, I figured that out real quick. I gave them a tour. Kenny saw me with them that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw out an offer. But, so, you know, I mean, that's just, you learn the personalities of these different guys. I mean,
yeah.
They want to make a deal, and then they just go for it, you know. And so it's pretty hard to land guys like that if you don't have a deal they can make.
But, you know, that's really the kind of people I like to deal with.
Right.
You know?
Don't they throw the deal out there and say, you bet. Types of stores, they have more convenience and more of a travel.
Yeah,
but I mean, we'll see to it. If we have to move our buildings, we got to move them, and they shouldn't have been there to start with. That's my opinion. But.
Kenny, is the city? Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I'm not Kenny.
That's okay, Bob. That's okay. You don't have to call me Mr. Mayor. Call me Kenny. That's what you've known me for.
See, I called you other stuff. I think.
yeah, worse than Mayor.
You made me call you Mr. Mayor.
anyway, is the city serious about? Structuring some type of reorganization or some type of consolidation, things along that line.
You talking about for the industrial park?
No, I'm talking about for the city sheds, city hall, whatever.
Yeah, I think we're serious about it. Here's the deal we're facing with city hall. This building's old. I don't care what you're going to do to it. It's going to be old. We've tried to have bids on remodeling this building. We can't even get bids. I know it's probably not in everybody's interest to relocate City Hall. I don't have a problem with it if that's what we need to do. But yes, Bob, I think a plan.
What are you giving me for my 33 acres over by the Church of Christ to McDonald's there?
A really good tax break.
Well, I tell you what, we've really been good friends, but I'm going to have to turn you down.
No, where does that lay exactly?
All behind the Church of Christ and goes over to the Mexican restaurant. And then, of course, it's down there on the river. You know, it's got about 9 or 10 acres of upground that never floods there.
Right.
You know, but over towards those apartments, and, you know, in behind Robinson's Memorial, and right there.
Are you wanting some gifting opportunities, or is that what you're saying?
No, I just ask him how much he'd give me.
Oh, well, I thought you said gifting.
So Bob, what would you take for it?
That'd be a good tax break.
What
would you take for it?
Unfortunately, you got to make money before you have a tax break.
I'm just giving you.
You know?
Well, that's some pretty good property right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know part of it is in the floodplain, but, you know,
talking
about floodplain back there where our wastewater treatment plant is, it's technically in a floodplain.
I'll just sell you the upground. You don't need over 9 or 10 acres, do you?
Not for our sheds, we don't.
Well, there you go.
Can the city afford it?
No, that's why we were going to go to rural country.
That's why
it could be the same cost.
Well, let's see. I might be able to finance it. Let's see. I can let you have a first year for free.
You'd have to build it for us. Scott, back to the incubator. What type of ground are they looking at in these other counties? Do have they identified any sites or anything?
I believe you may be more familiar with this. Do you want to address that? Pomona is the one in Texas County, and then it's somewhere in the closest Cabool, Texas County.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm not. I don't know the specifics.
Yeah, and so as Scott said, these have proven in a very similarly situated scenario in Wisconsin in terms of population and rural and location and geographic challenges. These have proven to be really successful economic drivers to help communities grow, to bring in talent, and then to ultimately attract new business into communities. So I was not here when this was all getting started, but that was the idea behind it, is they looked at a place that was similar to us and what was working for that place, and that was the genesis behind getting...
Do you know how much ground they require for one of those?
About 5 to 7 acres.
I was thinking that's right.
Per factor.
And does Howe County and Texas County, do they already have spots earmarked for this?
Howe County's looking at the Industrial Heritage Park, which they already have the infrastructure developed out there. It's if y'all drive north of West Plains, it's that where the Budweiser building is, that place.
Yeah.
And in Texas County, I'm not exactly sure. And then, do you know, Scott, where in Thayer they're looking at?
The Industrial Park.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
We've got some utilities over there, don't we?
Yes, Hal Oregon runs there. We have sewer that runs along there, and we've got a 8-inch water line that runs along 63 by the church building and down to the community garden.
And the idea behind this is just, which is interesting, because I thought this didn't make any sense to me when I first heard about it, but now it sounds brilliant, is that small industrial businesses don't have enough cash on hand to start to put a brick and mortar storefront up, so they can come in and they can have their overhead provided for a small amount of rent, because these are going to be publicly supported between the co-ops and the cities, and so they can grow. So your local teenagers, when they graduate, or if your local artisans have a skill, a welding skill or whatever, and they need to have a shop to work in, they can go and they can have a spot to grow their business, and you know, almost at minimal cost compared to what they would on the private market. So that's the idea, to put money behind our local citizens and our youth who are skilled and manufacturing labor and can't start a business on their own without startup fees.
That sure is a good idea.
Yeah, it wasn't my idea, but it was someone's. So.
Yeah, that's just a good idea. Yep. That's a good one.
You know, you saw this one area, and I've kind of been information overload on getting involved in some of this stuff, but the area that really took off there, Wisconsin. If you saw the aerials of the factories that just one after another, they've expanded. I was telling them it was like a 16-year-old looking at a bunch of Camaros and Mustangs. You know, I mean, it was just like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. And nothing was there before.
Guys, we're gonna have to wrap this up.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. We
probably need to. We don't need to wait a month to do this again. We got to stay on top of this.
Particularly, you know, funding-wise, you know, we've got a window of opportunity here, you know, with the CARES Act money and this
ARPA,
and then the infrastructure. That
I mean, it don't have
money that's coming out.
Somewhere along the line, the community is going to have to trust us to make these decisions, okay? We don't have to bring the whole town together to accomplish this. And probably can't every time. So we're going to have to make a decision on what we're trying to accomplish and move forward with it.
I would like to hear more conversations about the master plan.
The master plan.
Yes, sir.
That's the overall.
Or the comprehensive plan. Economic development strategy, as they used to call it. Same thing.
I agree. We probably do need more conversation about that.
Right. It'd be good. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can talk. Talk's cheap.
Yeah. Who's going to do that, Bob? Who's going to develop that?
Well, yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, if everybody's on board that it needs to be over there in the industrial park, get a map out of the industrial park and start talking about doing some type of dirt work.
I mean, what I'm saying is, who's going to do that?
You, Scott, me.
You weren't listening a while
ago. We had a preliminary one that the developer presented before, and a lot of the people in the city didn't like it, and so it got took off the table. So, you know, this is where we're back to the drawing board.
Kenny said, you know, he said that the community's going to have to trust us. You know, I mean, you can't make everybody happy.
You should have been here 2 months ago.
Yeah, we needed you 2 months ago.
We could have used your zeal that night.
Well, I've been zilling down here for about 25 years. You know, and you can see where it does. It got me sometimes. But I am still here.
Well, there were some foundation things. The access was a big point. And there is, what's her name there?
Guys, we're going to have to, we got to wrap it up. Sorry. I'm already past my council meeting. It's 7 o'clock.